You mentioned the 28th Amendment, and I'm sure that most of us, if we ever knew anything about it, probably don't now. Are there templates, you know, if you want to see it happen in communities?
There are templates. The guy's name is, and he knows I'm going to give his name up. His name is George Penn. He's the guy who's been organizing this more than anybody. And he can be reached at 608-244-6436. I'll give this to you again. George Penn with two N's. 608-244-6436. The organization is called United to Amend Wisconsin, so if you want to just Google United to Amend Wisconsin, you can find the info too. Email, capital G-E-O underscore Penn at charter.net. That's capital G-E-O underscore Penn, P-E-N-N, at charter.net. And, you know, George's goal and my goal is, you know, let's not be satisfied with 78 communities or 78 plus 19, which is damn near 100. Let's get 200 communities in Wisconsin, big cities, small towns, villages, counties, that have passed this. And then we can impose these petitions on our elected officials in Washington and say, I don't care if you got elected with dark money, with dirty money, we want clean money. Almost everybody in Wisconsin wants clean money, and here's the evidence. So we want you to vote for this constitutional amendment. Two-thirds of Congress has to pass it, three-quarters of the states have to pass it. Already 17 states have gone on record saying they want to overturn Citizens United. This is a doable thing.
Could one of the solutions be that just people in mass stop voting, withdraw their consent from the corrupt system? Like in South Africa, the voting participation fell to like 15% under apartheid, and then suddenly it changed because there was no one participating.
Well, I don't think that's the way to go, actually, because I think the people who are benefiting from the rigged system as it is would be delighted if we stopped voting. And that's the problem that I foresee with that. I understand what lies behind that, and I also understand the philosophical position that, you know, I never got to vote about being in this social contract, so I don't want to affirm a social contract I don't agree with. But in the practical here and now, I think it's important for people to vote and try to, you know, improve our system. Because the opponents of democracy are out in droves right now. And it's a very tricky moment when capitalism stops working. And that's where we are right now. We're at a crisis of capitalism. Capitalism is on a crash course with democracy. It's actually running over our democracy. And it's not able even to function in its own best interest in giving people enough money to buy the goods to make their profits go. And so, especially with the technological revolutions coming down the pike, fewer and fewer people are going to have jobs, more people are going to be unemployed and distressed and angry and susceptible to demagogues. And we're seeing some of that right now. And so I think we need to exercise the vote and try to save the possibility for democracy in this country. What can we do to, just as individuals, in the face of the powerlessness that's around and the problems of money and politics that I talked about? Is that a good description of your question? Well, you know, I think Mike McCabe gave a good answer to that, too. I really believe what we need to do, we need to work on this amendment, of course, and we need to try to get a more enlightened legislature and a more enlightened governor in there. And there are some good Republicans, too. Rob Coles in Green Bay stuck his neck out and voted against that campaign finance rewrite, and I applaud him for that. And I've gotten to be good friends with Dale Schultz, former Senate Majority Leader, so I don't want you to think this is a partisan rant. But the thing we really need to do is talk to people who don't necessarily agree with us already, because otherwise we're just talking to ourselves. And one of the great things about radio is, you know, people are in their cars or in their homes and they're turning the dial and they can hear something. Wow, that sounds interesting. I'd never heard that perspective before. And so on the near west side of Madison, where I lived for 25 years, I could go all day, I could go all week without running into someone who didn't have the same worldview in politics as I did. I was working at the Progressive Magazine. My neighbors were liberal professors at the UW. You know, I could listen to progressive radio in the morning and watch MSNBC at night. And before I go to bed, turn on my light and read The Nation. And then I'd get up in the morning and I'd do the same thing. And that's not healthy, really. It's not healthy because we don't refine our arguments when we're confronted with someone who disagrees with us. It doesn't build empathy with people who don't agree with us. And not everyone who disagrees with us is a horrible racist. And furthermore, it's just bad politics, because if we're only talking to ourselves, we're not pushing things forward in any way. So I just encourage conversations with people who don't agree with you, who aren't yelling at you and screaming and calling your name. I don't want to talk to someone who's waving a swastika flag. I mean, that would be a waste of my time. But there are a lot of people who I run into some people who have the craziest ideas, and I try to find a way in and a way to talk to them. And I think that's just an important one-on-one way to engage in politics. But definitely here, you know, I know Eau Claire County voted for this referendum. What about the city? Or what about Osseo? What about other towns around here? You know, there are a lot of places where this thing passes everywhere. So let's just get to work on that. That's one concrete thing.
So many of the things you talked about now seem to be the same type of frustrations that many Trump supporters hear. Do you believe that to be true, and how can you capture into this?
Well, the one thing that Trump, a couple of things that Trump talks about resonate with people rationally. A lot of what he talks about resonates with people irrationally. His racism, his sexism, his cloaked anti-Semitism. But the things that rationally resonate, number one, the political system's rigged. Of course, Bernie said the same thing, right? And it's interesting to juxtapose the two. Bernie said the political system's rigged, we gotta fix it, we gotta overturn Citizens United, and if I'm elected president, I can't do anything unless there are millions of you out in the streets because I need you to help me. Trump says the political system's rigged, all you need to do is elect me and I'll solve everything because I'm the smartest guy you ever saw. But he did say give an illustration quite convincingly of how rigged the political system was in the first Republican debate when there were 10 people up there, including our illustrious governor. And he said, I've given money to almost all these people here, and when I call, they do what I want them to do. And people understood that. So that's number one, the rigged political system. Number two is these free trade agreements. And bless his heart, Myron campaigned about that up and down the state, practically. You know, the TPP, NAFTA, CAFTA, these free trade agreements screw people here in this country and in other countries. And, jobs are exported, wages go down. That's what's been happening in this country. And people understand that their wages haven't gone up in 25 years. Trump is playing on that string, too. So those are the two issues, really, that I think he's capitalizing on. If he wasn't such a clinical narcissist out of the DSM-5, he might be doing a little better with those issues. Other questions?
Do you have any
I don't know, I know who Jeff is. I don't know about the Citizen Action Cooperative. I know about Citizen Action down in Milwaukee. Or it's the same thing. Well, Citizen Action does a great job. Robert Craig, I know, down at Citizen Action Milwaukee. Anita Johnson, tremendous organizer, especially on this voting rights issue. And let me just say, in the year and 9 months that I've been at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, I have met the most incredible, intelligent, energetic activists at the grassroots and the nonprofit pro-democracy progressive sector here in Wisconsin. I would say hi to Robert Craig if I ran into him on the street, or to Jay Heck at Common Cause of Wisconsin. But it's not just them. There are these tremendous groups. League of Women Voters, Andrea Kaminsky is a terrific leader of the League. I imagine there's a League chapter here in Eau Claire. There should be. It's a great group. They're doing terrific work. And some of the environmental groups that are fighting, you know, the sand mining or the CAFOs, Midwest Environmental Advocates, Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, Clean Wisconsin. These organizations are doing terrific work. In issue after issue after issue, there are great people. A lot of them don't have gray hair like me either, which is inspiring to me. So, you know, I've had lymphoma. I've had two melanomas taken out. You know, I want to survive. You know, Walker, I want to survive oligarchy. And, you know, it's nice to see younger people coming behind those. So that gives me hope, too. There are a lot of really good people doing the work. Thank you very much.